Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
A new chief of surgery comes to the hospital and things start off a bit shaky. Glassman finds a new community and Dr. Melendez takes on a new kind of surgery. The Good Doctor After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Good Doctor fans? Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely, lovely Tuesday. Tonight, we are breaking down Season 2, Episode 15, Risk and Reward. So much happened this episode. New introductions, new directors that were once actors are coming in, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, I just want to introduce my panelist. To my left we have...
Yes. Hi, guys. I am Jamie Alexander.
Coming up later in the show, of course, we're going to be talking about this new chief of surgery and him taking charge, as well as Sean trying to get better with his communication skills, as well as Dr. Glassman finally being happy and kind of joining a new community and opening up, which we haven't seen a lot before. But before we get into any of that, our overall thoughts. Jamie, what do you think?
So overall for the show, I really enjoyed this episode. I meant to look at the credits to see who wrote and directed this one, but it was really done seamlessly.
Directed was Freddie.
Right, because we talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? The way it was written, everything was so strong, so poignant. And what I really loved about this episode is we kind of got back to reintroducing everyone again, highlighting their strengths, and seeing them under certain unique kinds of pressures now that we have this new chief of staff coming in. So it was kind of nice to, like, get reintroduced to everyone again.
That was such a great way of putting it, because you're right. We did kind of get reintroduced to how everyone was in the beginning. Claire kind of being very smart and intellectual with the books, and then same with Sean, as well as Morgan being a kiss up and trying to be like very competitive, and Dr. Park kind of still being in the background and very mysterious. So I like that, because I didn't see that at first. Overall, I thought there were certain, obviously, plot lines that I found stronger. Obviously, Dr. Han being introduced as the new chief of surgery, I really liked, as well as Dr. Glassman kind of integrating himself in the cancer community. I do have to admit that the Dr. Melendez storyline, taking on the rich patient and the tumor, it wasn't as exciting to me, but I'm very excited to see, like, how we discuss this and see if I maybe see something that I didn't see before in that particular storyline. And as well, to anyone in the chat, let us know how you felt about any of these storylines going on. So let's dive right into it. New chief of surgery. Oh, boy.
Yes. I have a few thoughts. First of all, Jackson Han, he has a presence that is undeniable. When we first see him and he shows up standing where we usually see Andrews and, you know, doing his thing, I thought it was great. But there are a few things, because I'm really big on, like, leadership and taking care of your people. And I didn't like the way he didn't go to the opening brunch. That was very disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And it didn't give me a good taste in my mouth about who he is and what he's bringing. Because that, to me, that's not a good way to lead. To not have that camaraderie and have that moment. Who cares if you don't want to be there? Show up to the little brunch. But he came... The fact that the first time we saw him after missing the brunch was showing up like, oh, I'm about to scrub in. I was like, ooh, this guy's a character. Yeah.
See, I completely agree with you, Jamie. I can't say I dislike him, because this is the only episode we've seen him. This is his introduction. We don't know much about where he currently was performing surgeries. We don't know anything about his background. We only know what we saw this episode, which... he's just not making a good impression. Yeah, it was very rude and inconsiderate to kind of not show up to that brunch, even if that might not be your thing, like, or you might not care. These people are putting it on, so be considerate of those who are trying to welcome you with warm arms to your new place of work.
Right.
And I just, and we'll obviously talk about it more as we get into it, but I kind of don't like his methods of going about his quote-unquote teachings or, like, how he treats his fellow residents or surgeons. He's kind of like, I don't take any mistakes kind of guy. Like, I seek perfection, and I don't know.
I got that vibe, too. One of those scenes that, to me, was so well-written and so poignant is when him and Lim were talking. And Lim was like, I don't do the shame...
What was the wording? Shame-based learning is shame, what she said, yes.
Exactly. And right when she said that, I'm like, thank you. Because it is the way he's coming off. So I'm jumping around. One, you have a point. We don't know him. We don't know where he's from. We're still learning about him. So I don't dislike him totally yet. However, I'm not on board with his methods either. Because I feel like as a leader, when you come into a new place, it is beneficial for you to sit back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you can see what you're working with.
Yeah.
The way he came at everything, and I don't want to jump too far ahead to some of the other decisions he made.
Well, we can get into that because we'll kind of talk about Dr. Han's arrival as a whole and kind of the umbrella of everything that happens with that.
Yeah, so even just, so again, I feel like this show was reintroducing everyone to the characters, because we don't talk about Sean and his autism all the time. We already know he has it. We're not always like, oh, he has ASD. We don't need to continue to go over that because we already know. Mm-hmm. So bringing that back in, I really felt so sad when he's like, well, you're going to move to...
Pathology.
Pathology. And he's like, no, I'm a surgical... I just feel bad. Like, does he know Sean enough to make that call? Does he know about the cohesive structure of the team and how they're flowing, working to make that call so quickly?
I completely agree. He kind of came in and was making very big decisions very quickly. He wasn't taking a step back to kind of see how the workflow was already established between the current surgeons and their residents, the program that they're doing. He just kind of came in and was like, okay, like, this is how I ran my team at my last hospital. This is how we're going to run this team. And it doesn't work because you always have so many different personalities. Even if you are a doctor or a surgeon and you have a very strict kind of guide as to how you're supposed to act, there's still very different personalities. And speaking of personalities, Lim, I feel like, is not going to mesh with him very well.
I feel you on that, because there was like little moments of tension, and it was really beautiful the way she played it, because she's still strong, very strong, but she's also able to take direction. Like, we saw a lot of ebb and flow with her. Mm-hmm. She didn't get too wild with her ego, but at the same time, she made her presence and stuff known. So I do think in the future that is going to be, there's going to be a little headbutting eventually, because I feel like whatever Jackson Han is doing is going to eventually pile up on someone and somebody's going to go off. I don't know who or when, but...
I mean, it might be next episode, because we've already touched on it a little bit, but with Sean, but let's dive into it a little bit deeper with Dr. Han and Sean. Obviously, Dr. Han doesn't know Sean's entire history, and it's very sad that he was very quick to judge him and think, oh, you can't speak like that to the parents, which... I am not a doctor. I don't know the proper protocol to go about these things, but I personally, and again, feel free to tell me if, you know, I'm thinking wrong on this, but I didn't think it was super terrible what he did, because he was just telling the truth. He didn't want to lie and withhold information. She was being very forward in asking, was it the antidepressants that caused these birth defects? And I feel like because she became aware of this very early on in the pregnancy, I would feel like this would be something that came up earlier, but it didn't. So was it the other doctor just neglecting to kind of tell her the honesty and the risks, or was it being sensitive to the issue?
See, what I would have liked to hear is a thank you from them for Sean being real, because I feel like with the conversation between the husband and wife, even when they were talking with Sean, there was a moment where she kind of revealed, like, I feel like everybody thus far has been pacifying her because they didn't want her to feel guilty. And this was not about making you feel guilty. Because even what he said, Sean didn't tell her, yep, it was the antidepressant medicine that he's like, but there are studies that have shown. That's just the facts. Yeah, it's just what it is.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't saying, this is your fault, you should feel guilty. That was on her. He wasn't even saying, yes, the antidepressants caused the birth defects. He was saying, in a broad scheme of things, like you were saying, Jamie, there have been studies that shown this is the case. And it just kind of, that's the point that she stuck with. And that's kind of what she held on to was, oh, there's cases that say it could affect. So it did. And that's what she's sticking with.
Right. And this is another thing with the leadership with Jackson Hahn, because it's like, I would love for him, what I would have liked to see from him also is before jumping down Sean's throat, you know, and wanting to reprimand him and feeling some kind of way about what Sean brings to the table, is that these are grieving parents. This is a first-time mother. She's about to lose her child. She did take antidepressant. They've got a lot of feelings and emotions going on already. They have to decide whether to pull the plug to go through with a surgery that could leave the daughter struggling. And they got a lot on their plate. So I think as a leader and a doctor and a person and as a human, I would take that into consideration too, instead of just being like, oh, they're furious. Now the mom thinks it's her fault and they're mad. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, they're probably going through a lot of things right now. Their child is in an incubator. Like, you know, so I just don't feel like any of that was taken into consideration either with Han seeing that. Well, the parents were under distress.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
It was very straight to the point. You can't talk to the family like that, which I didn't think it was insensitive. I think he was just, like we were saying, he was being honest. And so, jumping forward, it kind of creates an effect. And to a certain extent, I guess, as the episode progressed, I saw Dr. Hahn's point in that it could be detrimental because the mother was feeling such guilt that she caused this, and that's why she was fighting so, so hard. I mean, any mother would fight very hard to save their child, but thinking it was her fault and the guilt is probably what kept her trying so hard to keep going and going and going, even though they came back like twice to tell her, we can't do anything for your daughter.
Right, which was a beautiful moment because Claire called that out and she said it exactly the way you did. Like, you've been fighting. You were fighting when you were taking antidepressants to even bring the baby into the world. You were fighting to keep the baby here. Like, we got to let her body do what it's doing, which was a harsh word. Mm-hmm. I was also harsh, you know, but it was more loving, you know, when Claire said it. So the mom was fighting a lot in the whole time. And it was interesting because there was a moment where the husband and the wife, he's like, pull the plug. She's like, let's do the surgery. And I don't know if you noticed, and it's such a small thing, but when they were wheeling the baby out for her last surgery, the scene ended on like the doors and they're both clear. And there's like this division in the middle and it's like, the
oh,
mom,
really?
You know what I mean? It was so separated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So it was just really interesting to see the layers of that because the dad felt guilt at one moment. Cause I don't know if you know that moment when, she was like, you were fighting too.
Yeah.
Because he felt like, well, dang, my choice would have been to pull the plug about 2 hours ago. And he felt bad. He didn't even want to grab the baby. Mm-hmm. So it's like both of them felt, you know?
Yeah, it's such a, there have been many episodes kind of dealing with this with parental relationships. And it's hard to speak of because I'm not a parent.
Me neither.
But but it's, when you're put in that situation, you don't know what's the right decision because you don't know what the future, you can't see into the future and see, oh, this is the outcome, so then you can make the right decision. And I'm sure the father does feel guilt, but in that specific moment, he was listening to the advice of the professionals.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. That's exactly right. It's funny because this episode, just on a like mini personal note, I walked away thinking like, see, that's why I believe in God, because all of this going on, like you said, he's taking the advice of the professionals. What else can you do when you really don't know? Like, you don't want a child to suffer their whole lives. But who wants to like kill their baby, you know, like unplug the baby, you know? So he had that thing going on. But then also I think with Sean, it's just like, does he fight for his space in surgical, or does he go with the flow and surrender to what's happening? Or, you know, it's just one of those things like you can't control and you kind of can't influence either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just going a little bit further on Han's decision to move Sean to pathology, I know, Jamie, you were saying you were very upset about this decision. I was very upset. I was heartbroken for Sean because he proved himself so well this episode in saving the child's life. And a point that I just want to make is I feel like in the very beginning, Han was testing both Sean and Claire, and they both failed. Sean, you know, communicated poorly, and then Claire didn't know the one technical answer to his question.
Right.
Which, you know, they're still learning to be understood. But then in the second round of surgeries, Claire was able to prove herself by being sharp and able to respond to his questions, mm-hmm. which is like, that's such an easy fix. You can go to a book and figure out where Sean or anyone, if you have some issues communicating, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And again, us as an audience have seen Sean this entire season work on his communication skills. So it was devastating, this new chief of surgery coming in, just being like, well, you can't communicate from the one thing that I saw you in today. You're out.
Yeah, I don't agree with it at all. And back to that conversation that Han had with Lim, he specifically said something about, you know, Sean and his limitations. And I also paired that with when he, it's back to the leadership thing. Nobody's 100%, like they're as 100% as they could be. But with Sean not being perfect, I don't think moving him out of an area where he could grow is the best thing, because doesn't challenge make you better?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't this be an opportunity for Jackson to maybe work with Sean a little bit, or better his team, or offer something up? Like, I just believe so much, if you're just going to be the head of this whole thing, you don't have to baby these people, but you do have to take care of them to a certain level. So just because a challenge arose, I don't think it's time to, let me put you in a space where I don't think you're going to have any challenges or less challenges. Like, I think it's more beneficial to move through them as a team. And that's what Claire was saying. And then he told her to mind her business. He was like, oh, well, we've been working on his communication and it's been this. And he basically was like, I need you to remember those equations or whatever. I don't know. It's just harsh.
He's just coming off really arrogant. And it's hard to get on board with him. Again, his introductory episode. So what can we expect? But it's just very upsetting that he wants to move Sean so quickly.
Yeah.
And then something else that I was going to say was something I'll figure it out later.
No biggie.
Yeah.
No, but it is. It's a tough thing. Again, I love what you said about not disliking his character yet, because I'm really excited. Maybe we'll go into that in predictions, but I'm excited to see how his character unfolds and what he learns and what they learn about him and how we can see this thing move forward in a cohesive way.
Yeah. Now I remember what I was going to say.
Boom.
What I was going to say was, I think that this is kind of what made me feel he was coming across as a perfectionist, in the fact that he made these decisions so quickly. Because as you were saying, Jamie, like, it's good to move through the difficulties as a team. It's good to learn and grow as a team. And I feel like he just kind of wants people to already be up to speed, and that he's a perfectionist and just wants things to go his way.
Yeah, but even things going your way still doesn't mean it's perfect. What is perfection to a perfectionist? He obviously has an idea of what he wants to see here. But again, even the best leaders know that it's got to be like a potter situation. Like, when you have a pot spinning, the clay is spinning on the thing, you're molding it and working it, it's changing, it's shaping. When you're coming into a new team, I just don't see how it can be in any other way. That's like, I can't come here and be like, you didn't ask me questions the way, you know, this
the way
person
I wanted
didn't
you to ask
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so I couldn't answer because she didn't ask it in the form of the third person. So I didn't get, or whatever corny little things we could come up with. But you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make for a cohesive workspace anywhere. I don't know how everyone can be at their best if they're held to your expectation in your head. What is perfect? What does this mean? You know, but then maybe there's a method to his madness that we don't know about. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, something else I thought about at the end of the day is that we're all human.
Yes.
Even you could be the most skilled surgeon in the world, but there you still might make a minor mistake. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily in the surgery room, but in communicating or writing something down, creating, like, making documents. I have no idea. We are all human, and we still continuously make mistakes. And so, exactly, he needs to kind of mold himself to what's already been established at his new hospital.
Yeah, because speaking of mistakes, Sean saved the baby's life. Mm-hmm. They were about to unplug the ventilator. If Lim didn't have a minute, like, can we just have a moment of silence over the baby? That wouldn't have given Sean the space to be like, this is what happened. So under Han's direction, we would have lost that child tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Period. How that is not like a huge indicator to him that he needs Sean on his team, I don't know.
And this is I'm going to save this more so for predictions, but had that happened, I'm very curious to know how he would have reacted because he's already coming across kind of cold.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious, but I'll save that for predictions. But before we move into our next subject, everyone, Jamie has a very special announcement.
I do. Yes, guys. So before we move on, we just wanted to say thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could totally use your help. So if you're on YouTube right now, hey, thank you. Hit that thumbs up button, subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us 5 stars. We would love that. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment, join the discussion. We want to shout you out, talk to you. We want to know what you think. And we're really excited to have you a part of our group here. So I know being a part of AfterBuzz has meant so much to us, and we truly appreciate your support in us doing what we love as hosts here. So don't forget to tell your friends, and please keep enjoying our shows. And speaking of fan shout outs, we had some really awesome comments and positive feedback from you guys. So I want to give a shout out to, I'm going to say Lou Harms. I might got that wrong, but it's L-U-I-H-R-M-S. We love you. Thank you. Ujjayi Panerji. It might not even be a whole name, but that's U-J-J-Y-A-N-I. We love you. Daniel Harris, thank you so much. Moonstruck 757 in the building. Thank you. Glow Loves, J-O-M-O. Glow Loves, Jomo. Whatever that means, we love your comment, and thank you so much for joining the discussion. And XX Milkshake 202XX. We wanted to shout you guys out and say thank you so much for tuning in and joining the discussion with us.
Yeah. Just piggybacking off of what you were saying, Jimmy, we truly appreciate all of your support. And the discussion from the last couple of episodes that we've seen in the comments have been amazing. And we just love seeing those and actually using those in our discussions further, because you honestly have great points that we didn't even sometimes think of the first time around. So yes, we really appreciate you joining the discussion and helping us move the show forward as well. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So our next topic will be Dr. Melendez and this kind of new patient, which I know we've already kind of talked a lot about Dr. Han rubbing some people the wrong way. I think he definitely rubbed Dr. Melendez the wrong way on their first meeting.
I think so, too. But I also love the way he handled it, because that's hard ego-wise. Like, Melendez is, he's got an ego of his own that's, you know, he knows about it. It's nothing too crazy, but he knows how to manage his strengths. But I'm glad he kind of took that on without bucking up against the grain, because it ended up being something, a learning experience, I think, for him. I don't think anybody could have handled the patient that he had as well as Melendez could.
Really?
Yeah, because he's very strong, but he's very masculine, but he does have this awesome soft side, and he's a great balance, because with this, the patient he had was such a businessman. I don't know if Claire would have been able to, I mean, I know she's a resident, but I don't know if Claire or Morgan or even Lim would have been able to navigate that personality the way Melendez did. So I think it was a little blessing in disguise, even though it was not his scope of work, technically.
Mm-hmm. I think it also just shows Dr. Melendez's professionalism.
Yes.
And that he, you know, had a big surgery lined up that was canceled to take on a patient who didn't necessarily need the treatment, but wanted to. And I think it just, again, shows his professionalism too, even though this is something he thinks is completely unnecessary, how he'll do the job. He'll do the job well. He'll give the patient all the information that they need to make the right decision. He's not going to try and, you know, get out of it.
Exactly. And that's exactly what that patient needed. I actually saw a little bit of myself in that patient, just the way he dealt with things. Like, you know, sometimes I can have this whole soft size, whatever, but sometimes I'm super analytical. What are the numbers? What's the problem? What's the numbers? I need to be able to make a decision based off that. And yeah, again, Melinda's professionalism, I think, was perfect to take that on, because even in the surgery that they decided to end up having, they weren't able to take out the tumor from the front, but going from the back, they were like, oh, he's going to leave nerve in his left foot. I don't think anybody would have been able to call it as quick. Like, I feel like he had a parallel enough with that patient to know, like, forget the foot. He doesn't need it. Like, this is not the type of guy who's about to worry about having a limp. So get it from the back. He wants it out.
Yeah.
I told him the numbers, the probability. Oh, well, on the foot. Mm-hmm. And it worked out.
Exactly. No, you said it exactly right, in that this patient knew all the risks going into the surgery, and he still went through with it, even though he did not have to. And we still don't know if it was necessary.
Right.
Which, I don't know about you, but did you want to know?
I was dying to know. I was hoping after Morgan and Park went for the trash,
it would
that
show
we were
going
to get a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, you guys.
Yeah.
Did he have cancer or not?
It does raise a good point, though, in that we didn't need to know, because what was done was done. He took the risk, and he's going to have the limp now. But at the end of the day, whether it was cancerous or was not, it's not there, which does leave a peace of mind.
Well, he said it himself, and I wrote this down. Certainty comes with a price. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I want to know. Because what about you? Would you be able to live your life wondering if the tumor was going to turn into something cancerous and that, like,
oh, I would go crazy. Personally, I would go crazy just because that's terrifying. Terrifying that you could possibly have cancer and it just sneaks up on you, because we hear those stories every day.
Yes.
Of people going to the doctor to get something looked at on, you know, to get their back looked out because they threw out their back and then they realize they have, you know, like stage 3 cancer.
Mm.
And it's terrifying because they feel completely healthy all up until that point.
Mm.
And so it's scary because at that point, these people don't know it. This guy knew about it. And I feel like had he not done it, he would have just been riddled with anxiety, especially because of, you know, his past and what happened to his dad and the whole reason why he's so extra cautious and taking all these precautions for his health.
Yeah, and his personality. He's a businessman. His personality was not going to allow him to sit with that tumor.
No.
There's no way.
Mm-mm.
So I mean, I thought it was such a good story. He was such a good, strong character. I know it was a smaller thing for Melendez, but for some reason I feel like it might play out to a bigger picture for him in some way or another. But I liked it. I liked that storyline for him, and I liked the way it turned out. I thought it was a great little subplot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the one thing for Melendez he can take away from it is that, obviously, in being a surgeon, he takes up a lot of the cases that are in desperate need of attention, life or death.
Right.
This wasn't a life or death situation, but I think it opened his eyes to every patient kind of needs care.
Yeah.
And a lot of these patients do take their health seriously, even if, like, the doctors are saying you're fine.
Right, because to be honest, I think that would have been my choice as well. It's like 80% chance. 80 is a good percentage. If I was in school, 80 was a B. I was happy with that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like 80% is a high enough chance to where it's like, well, I don't want to wait 5 years and then have no chance.
Yeah, and it progressed so far and you don't know.
I'm sorry, I'm not willing to do that. Like
no.
You said, especially after what he heard about his dad, he felt fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his morning jog and drops
just
dead.
Just drops dead. Yeah.
I'm coming in. Look at me. What is wrong? Do I need to look? I relate to that patient. I thought it was great.
And to be fair, if anyone had the kind of money that that guy did, of course someone would want to go into the doctor and just be like, do every test on me possible.
Thank
make
you.
Sure I am healthy. Check me for all kinds of cancers. Check me for, you know, diabetes, arthritis. Check me for all that kind of stuff. Just make sure I'm good. If you had that kind of money, I feel like we would all just like want a giant, appointment just to make sure that we're completely okay.
Absolutely, immediately. And then speaking of money, Han also made a case. He was just like, well, it's the rich patients that pay for the poor ones, so get in here and get this money and check this guy out. Yeah, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like bringing in a little bit of the politics when it comes to hospital.
Yeah. And speaking of cancers, we'll jump right into Dr. Glassman, who's starting to open up a little bit more.
Love it.
And which we do love it, especially after last episode where he got high and we started to see him have a little bit more fun. But this episode, he's actually starting to open up, which is, I found it very fun. And I think I feel like it was a good thing that he did, because there have been so many episodes with everyone trying to make him feel better. Sean, Leah, everybody else. But I think it really took being in the presence of someone like him to open up.
Yeah, a stranger. Sometimes you need to hear it from somebody you don't know. And it was also backed up with confirmation by Sean.
Mm-hmm.
With Sean, when they sat down to eat, and Sean, what did he say? He talked about how
It had some
forms. Yeah, it forms social bonds with others battling the disease, like when people are around people. So I think basically what we're seeing with Glassy here is he's like being chipped away at, you know, melted down a little bit, because I understand his prideful side. He is a brain surgeon. He is a boss. He is a man. He is a provider. You know, there's just all of these things. And then now it's like he's got to face this weakness, so to speak, a weakness. Mm-hmm. But to have the community, I think at this point, like you said, with the last episode, we warned him up with the weed and the apology to the high school girl and all of this stuff. So I think he was warm, prepped, and ready to just be like, all right, let's play some blackjack. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things fighting at Glassman was he just didn't want to be the guy with cancer. He worked so hard to make a name for himself, and I think at the end of the day, he just didn't want to be known as that guy who got cancer. He didn't want the disease to be his identity, and I think that has been his biggest struggle. And I think when he did have that cute little lunch with Sean, it's always so great to see them together after their up-and-down relationship this season. But he had confirmation from Sean saying, like, I have autism, but that doesn't define me. And so those were good words for Glassman to hear, because it doesn't define him. Mm-hmm. And it's good for him to have a support system who gets it.
Yeah. And another thing Sean said, he did say it doesn't define him, but he also said it's a part of who I am, though. Mm-hmm. So that's a fine line, but it was enough to break the ice, because it makes perfect sense. It's just truth. It's just simple. And if the success rate of people surviving was due to having the camaraderie, like, I'm trying to sit down and play some cards, too. Like, I'm going to make friends with these people who get, you know, it was really cute when the blonde guy with the curly hair.
Larry,
thank you. But it was really sweet when, you know, they were talking and then Glassy had a moment and then he was like, oh, I know that look. Here's the vomit, the bucket or whatever. Yeah. So I think that's very endearing. It's loving without being encroaching. I think Glassman is learning. We are watching him learn, grow, and evolve as a grown man. And it's amazing. It's a beautiful journey.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful. I am very happy, because it has been very rough. It started out very, very rough in the beginning. He was very down on himself. He, you know, did not want to be seen as weak. And now I think he's just starting to really turn over a new leaf with all these new people that he's being introduced to that he wouldn't, in any other situation, be introduced to. He's starting to get more insight and different points of view that he never really saw before.
But I think that's great. I think that's what life is all about. And a lot of times when I'm watching these shows, I put myself in their shoes just for a greater understanding for the depth of the character. And what I see with him is like, I can see the reflection of myself. It's like some of us were one way for so long because we think that's how we need to be. That's how things work. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is how people perceive me. And this is it. And we put a period, when really oftentimes there is a comma after all that stuff that we think. And there's so much more to life and the nuances it has to bring. So I think the more time he spends opening up, like you said, to those new people, new environments, new relationships, because that's what he's in anyway, I think he's going to start to find pieces of himself that are completely new, that have completely been buried. He's going to find even more healing, like he's already gotten a little bit with his daughter when he was hallucinating and things like that. And there's just so many layers and levels. And that's why I appreciate this show, because it seems to be written with that in mind, with real life in mind, with real life evolution. We evolve as people. The ideas I had about myself 30 days ago are not how I feel today. And that's real. So it's nice to see the characters evolve as such.
Mm-hmm. I love how you put that.
Yeah.
So well said. And I think it wraps kind of that storyline up in a very nice little bow. And so before we move on to predictions, any final thoughts on this episode?
Just great job. Again, the writers nailed it. It was so seamless and so clean. The storylines flow. They always do. But there was just something about this where I was like, ooh, every second I was like, ooh, that was good. And the way that was put, the dialogue was so beyond on point. So I just really enjoyed the episode as a whole. It still tugged at my heartstrings, but gave us a lot of information. And I think it did a perfect job in setting the ground for Mr. Jackson Han being introduced. It was great.
I am so curious to learn more about this mysterious Mr. Jackson Han, and I think that's a great way to go into our predictions.
Ooh.
now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. Because I brought this up earlier, and it's just a curiosity. It's not necessarily a prediction. It's just a curiosity. We have seen a lot of our residents, as well as our surgeons, have taken kind of personal interest in some of these patient cases to the point where they become invested, and you see a more emotional side if things don't necessarily go well. But I wonder, had, like you were mentioning earlier, Jamie, had Sean not had that moment of how to save the baby and she had actually died, would Dr. Han be cold? Would he feel upset? Would he feel guilt that it happened under his watch? Or do you think, I'm so curious if he would just think, eh, you know, it happens. You can't beat yourself up over every lost patient. This is the job we signed up for, kind of thing. I'm so curious to learn more about his emotional side, if he has one.
Right. Yeah, I'd probably, well, with your prediction, I'd probably say it's the latter, because he was ready to pull the plug. He wasn't even going to give a moment. Like, Lim was like, can we give a moment of something? They're like, unplug this, undo that. So I think with his personality, he's a little bit more on the colder side. But what I also think is we are going to find out what strikes his nerve. Did he lose a wife in a drunk driving accident? Does he have a kid that, you know, there's so many different colors that could have, but I do want to see more of who he is. I don't think we'll get that probably for maybe till the 18th episode. Yeah. He'll probably give us a hard time and make all these crazy decisions. So what I think is going to happen is he's going to continue to have run-ins. I don't think the team is going to sit well with Sean leaving. I don't think the team's going to sit well with that. I think they'll have a little beef there.
I was gonna kind of piggybacking off of that and going off of what you're saying. I wonder if Sean's gonna put up a fight.
See, maybe, right? There's a lot there, so I wonder if Sean's gonna put up a fight. Is he gonna go? Glassman, I don't really remember the advice he gave him. He was like, "What should he do about him?" I don't remember what Glassman said when he sat down. He asked, "What should he do about it?" I don't remember, but I do think that something's gonna come to a head there, and. Yeah, I think there's going to be some tension in the next episode. I don't know where, but tension for sure.
I think a lot of things that were comfortable are going to drastically change. I think the residents kind of coming to understand Sean's quirks and helping him communicate, obviously with him being possibly moved to pathology, is going to change. I think Melendez and Lim might be found out and get a very stern like warning from Dr. Han because they were comfortable and now they're kind of good. I feel like they'll be under a microscope. I wonder if Morgan's kiss up, like her ability to kiss up, is just going to come back to backfire, and if she's going to get
step on her own toes.
I think that's just kind of what I think. I think anything that was once comfortable is really going to be shaken up in the next few episodes.
Well, see, I love that you said that. And before we go, I think you nailed it. That is one of the things that was on my mind, because I was like, wow, everybody just got in a great groove. Morgan's opening up. Her and Claire are kicking it. Lim and Melendez, they seem to be healing, growing, because he had his own relationship. Mm-hmm. She was going through things. There was just all these things. And, like, we literally had one episode to settle. And this is so reflective of life, because the second you think everything's good, all of these wrenches are thrown, and you're like, who am I again? Oh, my God.
Ugh.
Out
of the comfort zone. We just want things to go so well, but we have to wait until next week to see if things hopefully stay nice and the same. But until we get there, Jamie, where can the fans find you on social media?
Yes, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am Jamie Alexander, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
Hey everyone, Veronica Valencia here. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_V. Thank you again, Good Doctor fans, for joining us. We appreciate you tuning in every single week. Please keep the discussion going in the comments. As you see, we love seeing what you have to say. We'll give more fan shoutouts next week, so be sure to tune in. Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.